listening to Talk of Our Towns here on Coast Community Radio. Our normal host, Donna Quinn, for this program is not feeling well today. So today we have a ham fest with Don Hill and Terry Hilgartner, also Paul Dennison. And also joining us in this studio is our general manager, Joanne Rideout. Everyone in this room has a ham license. And we'll start out with Mr. Hilgartner to tell us why that is so.
Well, mostly it's as a hobby, but one of the big aspects to it is the emergency services aspect to it. And actually, I was thinking about this on the way over, that we share a lot of the same things with your radio station that we do in our hobby. Both of you have an outreach to the community. We use radio waves. Ours are normally two-way, but of course, yours is normally one-way, except on times like right now when we have the pledge drive, when we ask people to call in to 503-325-0010 or 1-800-518-0010. And I think one of the things that Joanne will mention is that the local ham clubs are actually working to support this pledge drive, in that each one of the people that call in, especially the ham radio operators that are out there, even $1 that you pledge right now will be matched automatically by that ham radio pledge. And I see we've got the light ringing there. But that's one of the reasons that I got into ham radio, was the emergency services, as well as the hobby aspect of it, being able to talk all over the world. I'll let my wife talk now.
Well, that's mighty
nice. Yeah, he usually lets me have the last word. Mm-hmm. Well, I started in radio back when I was in Civil Air Patrol, a civilian auxiliary of the Air Force, and I got my communicator's badge through that. I learned how to push to talk, but at that time we had one frequency per radio, so if you wanted more than one frequency, you had to have several radios. So I learned how to log three different radios, so I'm one of his loggers when it comes to contests and such. Like, okay, you got this from that, and this from that, and get it all written down in the log and be an official person. Officially, I'm a paper pusher.
But also a radio operator.
Yes, I am a radio operator.
M7WRA.
I like to say it's for the Women's Rebel Alliance.
Yay!
All right, that sounds good. Well, Hal Dennison, you're also a guest here today on the show. Tell us a little bit about your history with ham radio.
Well, thank you very much, Joanne, and it's a real pleasure to be here today and be able to give a little piece of what we're involved in. I've been a ham since the mid-60s and have used that to get a job as a ship's radio officer more recently, and finally retired from that. So I bring an awful lot of experience, electronics, technical-wise, operating-wise, and part of that experience was participating in Iraqi Freedom, as Don has. And I'm a member of a group that teaches in Seaside, and as it turns out, we also teach in Tigard and Salem with various groups, and we teach the technician license and the general license, and the technician license is the first one. But all of us participated in a 2007 storm, so we bring a lot more experience than a lot of the newer folks do, and of course we're happy to share that.
Well, we're going to talk about that, the storm, in just a minute, and how that really brought ham radio into sharp focus for us here at Coast Community Radio. But I also want to remind people that this is Talk of Our Towns. Donna Quinn is normally your host. Donna is not here today. I'm Joanne. I'm sitting in for her. We're doing pledge drive. We're doing our spring pledge drive. We have a total challenge grant amount during the show of $200, which is pledged by the Sunset Amateur Radio Club. So thank you very much. We need to meet that challenge during this hour to get that challenge grant so you can double your money, is what I'm saying. If you call us during the show, you can double your pledge, because it is being matched by the members of the Sunset Amateur Radio Club. Our show goal is $300, and we have some special gifts that David Paul is going to tell you about.
And if this is an incentive, I don't know what is. This hour only, we have at the $60 level, 4 Clemente's gift certificates to give away. Gift certificates to Clemente's restaurant, they're worth $25. Fedora's calls Clemente's one of the world's top establishments. The Oregonian says it's the best seafood on the coast. So if you call in at the $60 level, you'll get a $25 gift certificate to Clemente's. We only have 4 of them. We only have four of them. We expect they'll go fast. So do call in right now, 503-325-0010, 1-800-518-0010, and show your support for Coast Community Radio.
Well, now, speaking of Coast Community Radio and the 2007 storm, it was after that storm that I became a ham radio operator, and part of it was because of the really impressive things that I saw happening between KMUN and the ham radio community. All lines of communication were down. Even cell phones didn't work during that time. But we were on the air on generator power, providing information to the community about where people could go to get anything from a warm place to stay, to eat, lots of other services that were, information was just not available for this. And where we got that information was through the local ham radio community, which was an interface between us and other emergency services on an official basis, you know, between the county and other agencies around the region. It was the folks in this room and others who were helping us make that happen. So it really awakened part of our renewed emergency role here as a radio station in the community. But we could not have done it. And in the future, we will continue to do it with the participation of the people in this room. So maybe, Don, can you talk a little bit about, because ham radio operators are known for this kind of community service nationwide. So what exactly do you do in an emergency?
Well, what we do is that we take the information that's provided by people, ham radio operators, out in the community, and normally they are receiving the information from the other members of the community on various things, whether it's a walk into the shelter, a walk into the fire station, as Hal had dealt with, Hal's at WA7FIV.
Thank you, Don.
And
WA7TEM, by the way, is Don's call.
My call. A lot of times we identify each other more by call sign than we do by name. I have several people that I've talked to for literally decades that I have never met in person, and really I don't know their name, but I know their call sign, and I know their voice. The other side of that is that we will take that information from the people, and for a lot of the folks, that information is coming from the CERT teams, the Community Emergency Response Teams. And they will be bringing that information via radio to a central location because they're using what are called family radio service radios, FRS radios, which are very low power and very short range. However, once they reach the ham radio operator, that ham radio operator has the capability of reaching out further in order to contact higher authorities in order to get things coordinated. So we were able to have nets that were operating in individual communities such as Cannon Beach, Seaside, even the Jewel area. And then they, ham radio operators there, were able to forward that information to the County Emergency Operations Center. If it was a request, we forwarded it to the County Emergency Manager where they sorted out who it was who needed to respond to it. Those folks would respond and then get the message back to us, and we'd get the message back to the community that there was help on the way, this is what's coming to you, and this is what we when we expect it to arrive. And then we were also able to get some of that information to KMUN so that you could get it out over the air.
What he's forgetting to tell you is the hours that these guys put in upgrading their equipment with their personal funds and the training that's put into it. You don't let anybody come into the station and just use the equipment in an emergency. I mean, that would be silly. You push the wrong button and you have blown things for at least 15 minutes, and that 15 minutes can be important. So we train for this. We train how to use what Don called a net, which is a person who is controlling several different stations from different locations so that they're getting a large picture of what's going on and how to do that smoothly without tromping on everybody's feet. And that does take coordination. And then knowing, okay, once you have this information, what do you do with it? You have to know what that is too. So it's not one of those things where, hey, it's an emergency, I'm going to help out. You really can't do that. You have to have some knowledge about what's going on and what kind of information flow we're talking about. So these guys put in hours of work.
Thank you, Terry.
Yeah, there were over 67 hams who put in 1,750 hours, I believe, Don. Those are the numbers.
1,750 hours during the storm.
And, of course, 5 days. One thing we forgot to mention was that the Seaside Warrenton Cannon Beach area lost 911. Mm-hmm. So you couldn't, if you were in that area, I don't know if it happened here in Astoria, but 911 was automatically being routed to fire stations, which did not have medical capabilities or the police capabilities. And so some of those calls were handled by ham radio people. I think one of the most interesting things that we did were the health and welfare checks. Health and welfare checks are usually people call in from Georgia. I just heard on the radio you had a tremendous storm and my mother lives there. Can somebody go check on her? And so hundreds, literally hundreds of those calls we were able to handle through ham radio. Another thing was there was a premature baby with trouble at Seaside Providence Hospital. And there were no communications to the outside world by cell phone, telephone, or whatever. And so the ham group, and I'm a member of that as well, were able to set up to Portland a telephone link to get a professional who was a doctor who knew about that and was able to keep the baby going, and the baby survived.
Wow.
Really amazing.
Well, I just want to take a moment to remind people that you're listening to Talk of Our Towns on Coast Community Radio. I'm Joanne Rideout, sitting in for our regular host, Donna Quinn. We're talking about ham radio today, and specifically at the moment in terms of emergency services. We're talking with our guests, Don and Terry Hilgartner, their husband and wife ham radio team, and Hal Dennison. All of them are members of the ham radio community here and are really integral to our emergency services in this community, which really are made possible by a network of very dedicated volunteers who are the people who can help you when the chips are down and when everything else is not working. I also want to remind everyone that we're in the middle of our spring pledge drive, and David Paul, one of our staff members, is here to tell you about some special gifts we have to give you this hour.
Yes, at this hour and this hour only, we have, at the $60 level, $25 gift certificates to Clemente's Restaurant. Again, Fedora's says Clemente's is one of the world's top establishments, right here in Astoria, one of the world's top establishments. The Oregonian says it's the best seafood on the coast. I've eaten it. I'm sure many of you have, too. It is delicious. We now have three of those gift certificates left, and that's at the $60 level. So call now, 503-325-0010 or 1-800-518-0010.
And we have a challenge grant this hour from the generous folks at the Sunset Amateur Radio Club, who are our ham radio operators in this room. We're seeking to match those funds. This is a challenge grant. We need to make $200 at least this hour. We have a show goal of $300 that we're trying to make. This is an exciting time for us. We're raising money for the station. But what we're talking about today is the vital role of our ham radio operators in our community. And so I wanted to just bring up the point that anyone can become a ham radio operator, and I'm kind of a case in point. After that storm, I realized that I live in a rural community. I could have been a real help if we had had a problem if I had had a ham radio, because there was no communication out of my rural neighborhood to the outside world. So I became a ham radio operator. And I can ask you, Don, to talk a little bit about how does somebody go about becoming a ham radio operator?
Well, actually, I'm going to turn that over to Hal, because Hal has taught more of the classes than
I have. In fact,
I think
you were one of the teachers in my class.
Yes, you were in my class, yes. All right. We have a group that teaches, and we teach actually anywhere we're needed. And so far we have taught, since January of 2008, we have taught 375 individuals who actually got their license after our class. Now, that doesn't mean these are all people in this county, because we also teach in Salem, in Tigard, and other places, as I say, wherever we're needed. And there's a group of three of us, and we really enjoy teaching. I teach some of the technical part, and the other people teach the rest of it, the rules, which we all have to have. But getting your technician or the first license in ham radio is really a snap. I mean, Joanne will probably have more comments.
Oh, yeah.
About
it was
that.
It was a snap, and now I need lots of help to keep going. But yeah, but the start was pretty good.
But when you first start hearing some of the terms that we use in the class and you hear them for the first time, are many, many comments. I mean, time after time we hear this. What does this mean? How does it relate to the real world? And so we solve that problem we dispatch that quite quickly. But it's a lot of fun. We really enjoy it.
Well, the class goes, from what I recall, over a weekend, a couple days, and you work really hard, take a test, and generally everybody in our class passed. And so then you get a license that is, how long is a license good for?
The license is good for 10 years.
And then you are, because you cannot be a ham radio operator without a license. You have to be licensed to do this.
That's correct.
Then you suddenly have access, once you are licensed, to this great resource, this community resource of volunteers who are extremely knowledgeable people who are just waiting to help you. And so
exactly
you have the
case.
Opportunity. Yep. Maybe we could talk about the opportunities for people to go on the air and participate for newcomers. How can people do that?
Oh, I think one of the best ones happens to be going over to the Lightship Columbia. Mm-hmm. Because we have a station right there in the old radio room, and there are people there who are talking all over the world. And when you go and visit the Maritime Museum, get on that light ship and get down there. Call the museum and find out if the volunteers happen to be in, and they'll let you in. They'll talk ham radio till your leg falls off and connect you throughout the world.
And we're talking about the Columbia River Maritime Museum on the waterfront in Astoria, Oregon. Since we are streaming on the web, we like to qualify that and let people know. Mm-hmm. But there are hams all over the United States and all over the world. But to get back to that, so now I have my ham radio. I'm a new ham radio operator. I've figured out I can push the little button on the side and say my call sign, and then I can talk. So there are actually opportunities during the week when people get together on the radio at the same time and check in with each other. Could one of you talk about that and how that works?
Yes. Mm-hmm. That is the toughest part. After you've gained all this knowledge and so on, and you go out there and you say, what am I going to do now? And a lot of us there help the individuals buy what they think they may want to start with. And we give a beginning programming session. And most of these programming sessions are private. So we're happy to go or have you come to us and we'll help you program your radio because we know the local repeaters. We know the local simplex frequencies. We know what is necessary to help out with the ARES, Amateur Radio Emergency Services. So, and because that's a problem, when people first get their radio, don't know what to do with it, they're looking at it, and the box says gobbledygook, gobbledygook, and and I don't remember that in the class kind of things. And so if individuals bring that to us, then we help them understand how that's related, how it works, and we'll help them program their radio. Now, the next thing is actually pick the radio up and push the button and give your call sign. That's the hardest thing we've found for people to do. And so we encourage people. Doesn't matter what you say, push the button and give your call sign. And you don't have to say anything after that. However, there are still people that cannot jump over that very low fence.
Very low bar.
Yeah, really.
Well, I just want to take a moment to thank some people. It's Pledge Drive, and we do have people calling in. Thanks to Linda in Astoria. Thanks to Gene, a renewal from Gearhart. Gene's brother-in-law is a ham radio operator. Thanks to, and this is from a ham with a call sign KF7HHG. Thanks to all the hams, and the ones in the room, especially Terry. This is a kosher ham. Thanks from KNOLL and N7ESS, who are hams.
Yes, from Seaside.
And
from
Seaside. So thank you so much to all those folks who have called and pledged this hour. Now, I just want to remind everybody, 325-0010 in our local calling area, 1-800-518-0010. And we have some very special gifts during this hour to give to you an opportunity to go to one of our premier restaurants right here in Astoria. David.
And that would be Clemente's. I'm David Paul, son of W7QFK, and you'd have to be an old-timer to remember that one.
Mm-hmm.
But
hell of my old timers.
Yeah, but yes, we have one of the $25 gift certificates to Clemente's left at the $60 level. You can snag. Ooh, there goes the phone right now. That could be it. But we have a lot of other great gift certificates and thank you gifts available at all levels. So give us a call, 325-0010 or 1-800-518-0010, and help keep us on the air in case of emergencies and every day.
Mm-hmm. So now I wanted to ask a question about to you, Don and Terry. So your husband and wife ham radio team, is that common? Is that the usual thing?
I would say it's fairly common. You just heard from KN0LL and his wife. Hal's wife is a ham.
We even got our son-in-law to become a ham. We're still working on our daughter.
But Hal mentioned the teaching team. The two of the other members of the teaching team are ham radio operators, AB7DN and AB7HO, for their call signs. And then, of course, we also have in the that's more or less
their sons and daughters.
Their sons and daughters are also ham radio operators. And then in the Astoria area, we've got a number of husband, wife, and sons, daughters teams that are out there. One of the things that I would like to point out along that is that it's a great way to communicate. And going back to the emergency services, when all of the phones were down, I could not call my wife on the phone and make sure she was okay in order to do my emergency work. But she was able to get on the radio, let me know that she was fine. I didn't find out until I got back home that there had been trees down that covered our driveway so she couldn't go anyplace. But she was all right. She was warm and dry, and she was able to let me know by ham radio everything was okay. And then that allowed me to concentrate on the emergency work.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have a question from a listener who just called in. They would like to know how much it costs to get started as a ham. And that would probably include the licensing fees and buying radio. Maybe what are the costs involved there?
The classes are free. Mm-hmm. However, it's $14 to take the federal exam. So that's the first time you're going to see money involved in this. Radios start about $200 for a handheld. There are some less expensive ones, but you get what you pay for. So I would say $200 would be a good starting amount for a new radio. Now, there are used radios out there, and in fact, CPAC happens in Seaside the first weekend of June, and there are tables set up, and you can buy used ham radio gear, handhelds, bigger stuff, almost anything that you want.
You forgot to tell that CPAC happens to be a ham radio convention.
Right, I was just going to say that's a good point.
You know, there's a small fee to get in. And then you wear your name tag, and of course it's going to have a call sign on it.
Right.
And that will allow you to buy anything that's, you know, ham radio related. Mm-hmm. And there's lots of stuff out there. But I'd take someone who was knowledgeable with me and see if you can do a push-to-talk test, make sure the radio works first. You'll even find some antiques in there, too.
And some of the antiques are even radios, not the operators.
Yeah, a lot of us antiques are walking around the floor. But we always say when the candy store comes to town, take advantage of it. And that's a ham radio candy store for sure, convention, right?
Well, they also have classes there, too.
Yes, classes.
Convention, swap meet, classes, and one of the clubs always sets up a test station. So if you pick up a new piece of equipment, you can walk over to their station and test it right there.
And there's also the Spaghetti Feed fundraiser.
The Spaghetti Feed fundraiser, which is held on the Friday night of the CPAC. And when we talk about a convention, it's actually a combination convention and swap meet, and it bills itself as the largest ham radio swap meet west of the Mississippi River.
Hmm. And they also have testing, federal testing for those people who want to get their license. So if you wish your license, go for it.
Well, I have a general question. We've been talking a lot about emergency services and crises, but you folks are doing things all the time. So what about when it's not an emergency, what do hams do?
Well, normally they talk to each other, and they talk to each other in various ways. Now, one of the questions coming back to your earlier question and Hal's about getting over the threshold or that low bar is we have NETs, which are get-togethers over the radio where people talk. Sunday night is the YL NET, which is the young ladies' NET, and Hal, the time on that
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. And one of the things I would like to point out for all of our listeners is that in ham radio terminology, a woman is a YL, no matter what her age is.
I was going to say, are we going to have to get into numbers here? That probably no, that's not going to sit well with too many people.
YL is a young lady, and any woman is a YL. Of course, the other side of that is that any male operator is an OM, which is an old man, no matter what their age
is. This is sounding better all the time.
Old, 9 years old. Joanne had mentioned earlier about the fact that anybody can become a ham. The youngest ham that I've talked to, I think, was 7 years old.
Wow.
A girl down in Eugene. And the oldest one I've talked to was 104.
Oh,
and
my
that
goodness.
Was a ham that's in Maine that I talked to on the radio. Mm-hmm. We not only talk by voice, but by digital methods, where we sit down with a computer, normally a laptop, and tie it into our radio and connect and talk digitally to people all over the world. Terry mentioned the Lightship Columbia. We had some folks on the Lightship Columbia this last Tuesday or Wednesday who were talking to stations in Japan and China from the Lightship. So there's various ways of doing it. We also, by the way, have television cameras, and we actually broadcast television, and several of us have been able to receive the television signals from the International Space Station. There are ham radio operators and a dedicated ham station on the International Space Station, and many of us have talked to those ham radio operators on the station while they're in space.
Yes. So now you guys can take a chance, get on your telephone, and call this station, 325-0010, or if you're out of that particular Astoria area, 1-800-518-0010, and talk to an operator here, you know, get those pledges in. In fact, I went ahead and I paid our dues for the year. Yay, we're renewed.
Thank you so much. That's terrific. Well, one quick note. We're sort of getting to the end of the show. Mm-hmm. One quick note. David passed me a note to remind people that you no longer have to know Morse code to become a ham radio operator.
That's
one
correct.
Time
correct.
You did. But you don't. So that's one hurdle you don't have to worry about. I wanted to, since we're kind of getting to the end of the show, I wanted to give you an opportunity to give contact information for the club for people who might want to join or get involved with your clubs within the area. What do they need to do?
Okay, telephone numbers. In Seaside, for the president of the Amateur Radio Club in Seaside, we call STARS. His name is Robin. His call is KN0LL at 503-738-8152. You can call Jeff, AB7DN, 503-440-0955. Or you can call me, Hal, WA7FIV, thank you for the plug, 503-738-6593.
Okay, well, we are just about out of time. You've been listening to Talk of Our Towns on Coast Community Radio. I'm Joanne Rideout, sitting in for Donna Quinn. We've been here with my guests from the Sunset Amateur Radio Club and STARS in Seaside. And we've had Hal Dennison and Terry and Don Hilgartner as our guests. Thank you so much to all of you. We really appreciate you being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. And thank you to everyone who pledged. Thank you very much.